Well, greetings, friends, in the precious name of my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ. Again, this is your radio speaker, Minor Hawk, coming to you with another message of salvation to those who realize their need of a Savior. I trust that all of you listening to my voice today will just take a break from whatever you've been doing and listen to the Word of God. You know, it seems as though people today are just too busy to listen to the Word of God. Yes, they've got time for business, time for pleasure, but for Christ the Crucified, not a place that He can enter in the heart for which He died. Let's open up the broadcast today with an old-time favorite, Bringing in the Sheaves.
We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves.
Sowing in the morn, sowing seeds of kindness, sowing in the noontide and the dewy, waiting for the harvest and the time of reaping, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, we shall come.
Friends, there's two verses of Scripture that I think of when I hear that song. The first is found in Luke chapter 10 and verse 2. The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that He would send forth laborers into His harvest. The second Scripture in John chapter 4 and verse 35. Jesus Christ says, Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, Lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Yes, friends, I believe this is harvest time. I believe these are the last days just prior to the Lord's return. And you who are Christians listening in today, friend, if you're going to do anything for God, you'll have to do it soon. Yes, the second coming of Christ is even at the door. Well, friends, on this Voice of the Gospel radio program, I seek to bring before the unsaved listener the significance of listening to God's Word. After all, if I don't substantiate what I say with chapter and verse, then I couldn't blame anyone for not heeding what I say. But friend, listen. When I tell you that God says something, then you'd better listen, because He's the one with whom we have to do. Not only that, but God promises to bless His Word. In Isaiah 55 and 11, we're told that if God's Word goes forth, it shall not return unto Him void. Again, in Romans 3 and 4, we're told, Let God be true, and every man a liar. So that's it, friend. You, as an individual creature of God, if you're ever going to be in God's heaven, must give heed to the Word of God. Now, in this regard, I want you to know, friend, that if you don't give heed to the Word of God, then the alternative is the judgment of God. The Lord Jesus Christ Himself declares in John 12 and verse 48, He that rejecteth Me and receiveth not My word hath one that judgeth him. The words that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. And with that solemn thought in mind, let us ask God's blessing on His word. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, we bow our hearts in Thy presence today to thank Thee again for Thine unspeakable gift. We thank Thee that He came from heaven, lived a sinless life here upon the scenes of earth, and died on the old rugged cross for our sin. We thank Thee, our God, that He was taken down with tender hands from the cross, and He was buried in Joseph's new tomb. He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and even today He sits at the right hand of the Majesty on high. But, our God, we have the assurance time and again in Thy Word that He's coming again. And our God, there are those listening in today who'd be left behind if Jesus came right now. Father, bless Thy word about to be read and spoken from today. Honor afresh Thy Son and Thy word, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, before getting into the message today, let's listen to another hymn, and it's entitled Amazing Grace.
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. Was grace that brought my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious is that grace appear, the hour I first believed. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. His grace has brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home.
Today for His amazing grace expressed in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now then, those of you who care to follow me in the Bible, I'll be using as my text for today a verse of Scripture that we find in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich. Let me repeat the text. This is 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 9. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich. And the Lord will add His blessing to the public reading of His word. Now friends, today, and with the help of the Holy Spirit of God, I'd like to bring before you some thoughts concerning a five-letter word which is found throughout the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. It is a word without which it would be utterly impossible for me to be here today. Yes, and it's a word which makes it possible for you who are unsaved to hear the gospel even now. The word to which I refer is G-R-A-C-E, grace. We've been hearing in song the message regarding amazing grace. So we want to speak today a little bit about the grace of God. Now friends, the first thing I want you to notice about this word grace is its meaning. What does it mean? You know, we hear it used a lot, but just what is the meaning of the word grace? Well friends, a very simple definition for grace is undeserved mercy. Yes, undeserved mercy. And that simply means that mercy is shown to those who don't deserve it. And friend, the purpose of these radio gospel broadcasts is to bring before the unsaved the matchless as well as the amazing grace of God as expressed in the death of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now then, since grace means undeserved mercy, it tells us that the recipients of God's grace don't deserve His mercy. In other words, friends, we are all sinners in the sight of a holy God. And since the wages of sin is death, God has every right to impose that sentence upon you and I and everyone else. Now, this doesn't only mean physical death, but it also means spiritual death. You know, physical death is the separation of the soul from the body. But spiritual death is the separation of the soul from God. Over in Ezekiel 18 and verse 20, God says, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." Now, there may be someone listening in today who just doesn't like to be labeled a sinner. It seems to cause you to rebel. It hurts your pride. After all, you go to church, you read your Bible, you say your prayers, you give to the poor, you've been baptized, confirmed, dedicated, and consecrated. Surely you couldn't be classified as a sinner. Yes, my friend, according to God's word, you're a sinner. And so am I. In fact, everyone living in the world today is a sinner. Some are sinners saved by the grace of God, and the others are sinners still unsaved and on the broad road that leads to hell. Now, this may come as a shock to some of you, but friends, regardless of your religious and social heritage, you were born in sin and chastened in iniquity. Over in Romans 5 and 12 we read, "Wherefore as by one man," meaning Adam, "sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Again, in Romans 3, we read of God's indictment of all mankind, and in summarizing, we hear God say that there's no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So, friend, if you've never been born again by the Holy Spirit of God, then you're a lost, guilty, and hell-bound sinner in God's sight. You're worthy only of the flames of hell and eternal separation from Almighty God. But, friend, that's where the grace of God comes in. Yes, in Romans 5 and 20 we read that where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And that leads us to the second point I want to make today regarding grace, and that is this. It is God's grace. Yes, it's God's grace. Over in Galatians 1 and 15, the Apostle Paul declares that it pleased God to call him by his grace. Again, in Romans 3 and 24 we read that sinners are justified freely by God's grace. Yes, friend, salvation is of the Lord. And if you ever expect to be in God's heaven, you'll have to be a recipient of God's grace. It isn't a question of what man thinks or what he believes to be so, but rather it's the Word of God revealed by God's Spirit concerning God's grace. Back in Isaiah 55, God says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, even so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." So friends, right now, before I go any further, God wants you to admit before him that first of all, you're a sinner that's undeserving of his grace. And then secondly, simply acknowledge that he is the only divine authority and that it's his grace that's being offered to you today. Now then, this leads us to the next point I wish to make concerning grace, and that is its manifestation. In other words, how did God express his matchless grace? Well, friends, I'm happy to tell you today that the grace of God was and is expressed in his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Over in John's Gospel, chapter 1, and beginning at verse 1, here's what we read. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made." Then in verse 14 of that same John chapter 1, we read that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace. Did you hear that? Jesus Christ was full of grace and truth. Then in the 17th verse of that same chapter, here's what we read. "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." Then, of course, our text for today tells us, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." Friends, the grace of God is being manifested to you today in the person of God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the one who left the bosom of God to enter the bosom of the virgin called Mary. He was the Son of God who became the Son of Man, that we, being sinful sons of men, might through faith in him become the sons of God. He was the one who laid the foundations of the earth. He was the one who tossed the stars into the universe. He was the one who was daily the delight of his Father God. Yes, he was God manifest in the flesh. Friends, for all his divinity and for all his power, he left the ivory palaces and was born amidst the stench of a stable. No, there was no room for him in the inn, and there was no room for him in the hearts of men, either then or now. But thanks be unto God, there was room for Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross. Yes, there he hung, the Lamb of God taking away our sin, dying in our guilty room and in our stead. There he bled, and there he shed that precious blood, without which there could be no remission for sin. That blood that cleanses from all sin. Friend, listen. The Lord Jesus Christ suffered, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us back to God. Yes, he who was holy, harmless, and undefiled, was made sin for you and I, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Ah, listen, sinner friend, you've never been saved by God's grace. Would you like to be saved today? Would you like to be born again by the Holy Spirit of God? Would you like to know your sins forgiven? Would you like to know God as your Father, Christ as your Savior and Lord, as well as heaven as your home? Well, friend, just in case the Lord should come, or you should die before this program comes to an end, listen. Listen to what I'm about to tell you, because I want to make God's way of salvation as simple as A, B, C. Yes, as simple as A, B, C. A, acknowledge before God that you're a lost, guilty, and hell-deserving sinner. Admit that there's no merit in anything you might try to do to achieve eternal life in the kingdom of God. B, believe in your heart, not just in your head, but believe in your heart that when Jesus Christ hung on the old rugged cross, he was dying for your sin. He was shedding his life's blood and bearing your sin in his own body on the tree. C, come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ and accept him as your Savior and Lord. Confess before God and man that Jesus Christ is not only your Savior, but also the Lord of your life and Master. That your life is now his to lead as the Holy Spirit sees fit. Well, friends, that's it. That's salvation. That's the grace of God. And you can have it today if you'll just acknowledge your need for Jesus Christ and accept him as your own and personal Savior. Yes, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now then, the fourth thing I want to mention concerning the grace of God today is the recipient of that grace. In other words, who is it that benefits by the grace of God? To whom is it extended and why? Well, friends, over in Titus 2 and 11 we read, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. And I can do nothing better today than quote for you the best known verse in the Word of God, John 3 and 16. There we hear the words of the Lord Jesus Christ as he says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, and that means everyone everywhere, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Friends, the grace of God is for everyone in the world. It doesn't make any difference whether you're black or white, rich or poor, old or young, whether you're Catholic, Protestant, or Jew, the grace of God in the person of Jesus Christ is offered to you today. And the reason it includes everyone in the world is simply because there's no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Over in Romans 10 and verse 13, the apostle declares that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved. And over in the book of Revelation, we read concerning the last invitation to the sinner. There in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 17, we read, whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Now, mention of that word freely leads me to the fifth fact I want to mention today concerning grace, and that is, it's free. Yes, friend, the grace of God is a gift. Over in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, we read, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works. Did you hear that, friend? Salvation is not of works, it's a free gift, lest any man should boast. Friend, you couldn't buy salvation if you wanted to, because it's just not for sale. The Apostle Peter could say of a truth that we are not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but rather with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Friends, I feel sorry for some of you out in Radio Land today. You've been deluded by Satan and your fellow man into believing that you can reach heaven by your so-called good works or church membership or trying to keep the golden rule of the Ten Commandments. Friends, if you can show me anywhere in Scripture where it says that you can reach the kingdom of God by joining a denominational church or trying to do the best you can, well, friend, I'll throw my Bible out the window and never again preach the gospel of the grace of God. No, friend, let's be honest with ourselves before God today. According to the Bible, there's only one way to heaven, and that's through faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. Hebrews 9 and 22 tells us that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sin. And friend, that precious blood which freely flowed from the veins of the Lord Jesus Christ paints a carpet of crimson which leads to the throne of God. Yes, and thank God it's all free, without money and without price. Over in Romans 5 and verse 15, here's what we read. For if by the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. Yes, friends, the wages of sin is death, but I thank God today that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now then, the sixth fact that I want to mention about the grace of God is its result. What is the result of God's grace? Well, of course, the answer to that question would depend upon the individual and how he or she responds to the grace of God. If a sinner is convicted of his true spiritual condition before God and accepts the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior, he is immediately born again, this time into the family of God. He becomes a new creature in Christ Jesus. He is delivered from the power and penalty of sin. He enjoys sweet communion and fellowship with his Father God. Yes, my friend, he is delivered from wrath to come. Ah, listen, friend. There are so many advantages to be gained by accepting the grace of God expressed in Jesus Christ. Yes, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. You know, we read this in Titus 3 and 7, that being justified by His grace, we should be heirs according to the hope of eternal life. But how about you are unsaved today? What's the result of rejecting the grace of God? Well, over in Hebrews chapter 10, we read that those who trample underfoot the Son of God and who consider that precious blood an unholy thing and who have done despite unto the Spirit of grace, well, friend, God says that vengeance belongeth unto me. I will recompense, saith the Lord. Then he follows up with this solemn warning. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Friend, listen. I want you to understand today that if you reject the grace and the love and the mercy of God, which is manifested in His Son, Jesus Christ, well, friend, your soul is headed for the eternal burning. And whether you believe in hell or don't believe in hell, it makes absolutely no difference whatsoever, because your rejection of truth will in no way alter that truth. So, friend, please don't be foolish, but rather acknowledge your sinful condition in God's sight right now, then accept God's Son, Jesus Christ, as your own and personal Savior. You know, I like those words given by Paul over in Ephesians 1, 6, and 7. He says to those who are saved, he says, we are accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of His grace. Now, the seventh and last point I want to bring before you today regarding God's grace is simply the reminder that this is still the day of God's grace. Yes, friends, this is still the day of God's grace. Regardless of who you are today and where you are, you can be born into the family of God through faith in the blood of Christ. But, friend, I must warn you in love for your soul that even though today is the day of grace, Tomorrow for you may be the day of God's wrath. God tells us in 2 Corinthians 6:2, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Again in Hebrews 4:7 we read that today, not tomorrow, but today if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Friend, you have no guarantee that your eyes will ever see the light of another day. In Proverbs 27:1, God says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Listen, sinner friend, there are souls in hell right now that woke up this morning in the best of health. So in closing, my friend, I plead with you from the bottom of my heart, and while God's grace still prevails, bow your heart before God and acknowledge that you're a lost, guilty, and hell-deserving sinner, then in simple childlike faith, accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. Yes, friend, right now, wherever you are, just believe with all your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved for time, and thank God you'll be saved for all eternity. And remember, my friend, this is for eternity. Yes, this is for eternity. Let us pray. Our God and Father, in Jesus' name, we come to thee again at the close of another radio message to thank thee for extending the day of grace so that we might have this blessed privilege of exalting thy Son as the only Savior of sinners. Even now, our God, we trust that thy Holy Spirit, through thy word, is bringing both conviction and conversion to the hearts and souls of those out in radio land who've never been saved and born again. Save them now, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, friends, this concludes another Voice of the Gospel broadcast. If I can be of any further help in pointing you as a sinner to the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, well, believe me, I'll be only too happy to do so. If you have any questions relative to God's way of salvation, you write to me, and I'll answer them according to the Word of God. Now, my address is the Voice of the Gospel, Post Office Box Number 6, McKeesport, Pennsylvania, zip code 15134. That address again, the Voice of the Gospel, Post Office Box Number 6, McKeesport, Pennsylvania, zip code 15134. And now onto our next broadcast, Lord willing. This is your Voice of the Gospel speaker, Minor Hawk, wishing you and yours God's very richest blessing, which is salvation through faith in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Good day.